With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today we're going to talk about massive upside. That's right, the players that we think might be able to outperform their ADP. We're talking players post-50 and maybe even post-150 ADP, and you're saying, oh my goodness, already we're targeting these players? My answer to you is yes, that's right. That's what we get paid to do. Andrew Erickson, Derek Brown, and myself are going to give you some names, and we're going to sell you on why they could be players with massive upside that could really change the tenor of your league. And we're going to get to those names in just a second. Before we do, don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube right now, subscribe and click that little bell till it goes ding for notifications, because we've got amazing content, the short form videos, we've got all the podcasts on here, and of course, all the amazing in-season content. We got great guests lined up for the month of July. You're going to want to be a part of Fantasy Pros if you aren't already, which I'm pretty sure you are. But anyway, gentlemen, it's a great time to talk about football. We are approaching quickly, obviously, the heart of draft season. It's going to be upon us before you can blink. And it's important to start identifying these players now, especially for people who have early drafts going on. So let's start with one of your players, Derek Brown, that is right outside the top 50 that you think can be a value in drafts that might have some big upside in 2023.
This player is going screaming up the board. And I talked about him out on Twitter, man. 2021, Miles Sanders of wide receivers. That is Deontay Johnson, guys. Everything that could have possibly gone wrong for Deontay went wrong last year. He got all of the volume we wanted to see, 13th in target share, top 10 in red zone targets. Problem is, didn't score any touchdowns. So he was wide receiver 39 in fantasy points per game. I'm chasing the volume and I'm chasing the talent. Deontay's going to have a massive bounce back year, guys. And yes, you could toss Kenny Pickett along for the ride, because if Deontay's doing better, Kenny Pickett's coming with him. But Deontay, I got him as a top 24 wide receiver this year, and everybody should as well. The talent's there. This guy led all wide receivers in open score. He's going to bounce back. Top 24 is definitely in the range of outcomes. I'm going to say massive upside for 2023.
Well, I like that, because it's not like we're so far removed from Deontay Johnson being one heck of a PPR wide receiver. Mm-hmm. It's just, obviously, when you transition in a quarterback season like they did last year in Pittsburgh, there's going to be some lows. You would hope that there would be some highs. There weren't as many, but maybe Kenny Pickett does make that incremental developmental move forward. And if so, DJ looks like he could be a good pick. Let's go for you, Andrew Erickson. Give me somebody between ADP 50 and 100 that you think might have some big time upside.
Going to the running back position here with Los Angeles Rams running back Cam Akers, who Sean McVay has now voiced that he likes now, as opposed to last year when he wanted to had nothing to do with Cam Akers, which was a big problem for me because I liked Cam Akers a lot last year, but I'm back in. Look, he just turned 24 years old. He's a young running back, and he flashed RB1 upside last year. Over the final 6 weeks, led the NFL in rushing yards. Now, we expect this offense to bounce back overall. Matthew Stafford's back. Cooper Kupp's back. Cam Akers is the RB1. Who else is in that backfield that's going to compete for touches with Cam Akers? Sony Michel, 2.9 yards per carry last year. No, I've seen Sony Michel play. It's not him. Kyren Williams, Zach Evans. Like, these are just a bunch of jabronis. It's Cam Akers season, baby, in 2023. Wheels up.
Yes. Is it Cam Akers season, though, Erickson? Because it has to be at this point. I mean, maybe not because Sean McVay wants it to be, or you just think it's out of necessity at this point.
I do think to an extent there is some need for him to get the ball there for the Los Angeles Rams. And I think it's important to realize he's another year removed from this Achilles injury. The fact that he was able to overcome that injury in the first place, he came back in a calendar year. That matters so much for a running back's explosiveness. So I think what Akers showed displayed last year is not being baked in enough. I mean, he's going outside the top 50. You don't even have to pay a lot to get him. And I feel way comfortable drafting him as my RB2 because he's going to be a workhorse.
Yeah, it's funny because Pat Fitzmaurice also kind of feels the same way about Cam Akers. I just read one of our feature pros pieces that we have over on fantasypros.com about some of the breakouts. I think it was his 24 breakout candidates to draft, and Fitz and a few other people had Cam Akers on that list too. So there's an even deeper dive on that. If you want to read that article too, if you go to fantasypros.com/breakout, you can see all the 24. But just like you laid out there, Fitz did the same thing where he's laying out the same exact concepts of why Cam Akers is a value who has a lot of upside. D-Bro, in the same range, give me another guy that you think might be able to be a good return on investment and has a lot more upside than we realize.
I mean, we're talking about breakouts. I'm going to sit here and make the bet that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to break out in his rookie season. I mean, we talk all about, okay, the ability to earn targets and, okay, it could be muddy and stuff. Can we also talk about the contingent upside of Jaxon Smith-Njigba? If DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett go down, if you're talking about a guy right now, you're probably drafting as a wide receiver three who has wide receiver two, wide receiver one, possibly upside. Because as good as DK and Tyler Lockett have been, we've never seen Tyler Lockett be a heavy target commanding wide receiver. He's never ranked inside the top 36 as far as target per route run rate. And if we believe that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is that dude, I do, then what are we talking about? We don't believe that he has the ability to earn targets. He has the first round draft pedigree. He has all the other measurables we look for. He was more athletic than people gave him credit for. And also in college, in that massive breakout season, while he was earning targets amongst other first round future wide receivers, he also showed the ability to win downfield, which I don't think people give him enough credit for. He was tied for first in PFF's deep receiving grade. He was ninth in yards per route run down the field that year. So I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is one, a guy who can win on the outside and the inside. He has wide receiver three, wide receiver two type of ability for this season. And if one of these wide receivers goes down, he could be a wide receiver one in his first year. And I mean, why do we discount that?
That I completely agree with. So in terms of the upside of injury being there for JSN, it's there. But is it contingent? Is that upside completely contingent on injury? Because it feels like, to me, it is. I'm a guy that's taking Tyler Lockett. I'm taking DK Metcalf because they're the established guys, and Lockett's got 1 year left on his contract. You say no. You say he can get there anyway. What brings you to that point, if everybody stays healthy, that JSN can still outperform the ADP?
Because if we believe that targets are earned, and they're earned based off of talent, then we should believe that Jaxon Smith-Njigba can earn that type of target share. And the other part about it, like I talked about, I think Tyler Lockett goes back into being a field stretching role this year. That's what he's been for most of his career outside of maybe last year, the year before, and his ADOT went down. So I think the way this offense revolves around JSN earning underneath targets, getting some shots down the field, DK is going to compete with him. And I think Lockett, as good as Lockett is, and as good as I think he can be again for this season, I think his volume maybe dips a little bit and he goes back into being the downfield threat.
Okay. Andrew Erickson, give me another guy in this range between ADP 50 and 100 that you think has massive upside.
It's my favorite tight end to draft in fantasy football right now. It's Darren Waller. Over the last 6 weeks of the season, he was the leader in tight end yards per route run. He finished second in top six finisher rate at 38%, second to only Travis Kelce. Like, when you're going through the tight ends, who's going to be tight end two? Like, Darren Waller has just as good a chance of finishing as the second tight end overall than every other tight end. And yet he goes so much later than the George Kittles and the Hawkinsons of the world, where I see it as Darren Waller has a direct path to being the number one wide receiver, pass catcher on the Giants. Like, why? I don't understand why he's so cheap. I get people are concerned about.
I do. I understand why he's so cheap. Yeah, I think it is, because I think you could argue that although he could be tight end two, last year he finished as tight end 25. So I think that's why he's so cheap. People want to mitigate their risk a little bit. I think that's the reason, don't you?
That's what I would guess, but aren't we sure? This is the upside show. We're not talking about risk. We're talking about upside.
Okay, that's fair. This is the show we're talking about upside. And look, I can't deny
Waller's upside. Let's not talk about the downside. Let's be positive Pete's instead. We're going to do that. All positive people here talking about positive things. You're right. And I think tight end is one of those spots that where he's going, you know, some of the names around there, Pat Freiermuth, Evan Ingram, David Njoku. If you're wrong, the replacement value at tight end, you could probably find somebody off the waiver wire like Juwan Johnson last year, right? A perfect example of a guy you could plug and play and actually had some good games. So I think if you're going to be wrong on somebody, being wrong and down on Waller makes a lot more sense. Let's move the needle, gentlemen. Let's push it a little bit further back. Players from ADP 100 to 150. Derek Brown, give me somebody that's got massive upside.
It's got to be Quentin Johnston. That's where this conversation has to start.
Hallelujah. And let's do it.
Again, talking about in a similar spot of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but people aren't paying as much in ADP to get a guy that's, again, first-round wide receiver talent in one an offense that I think is going to lead the league in passing attempts this year, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. Justin Herbert's only been second in passing attempts and passing yards in each of the last two seasons. So now you're going to add more weapons on top of it, and you got Kellen Moore, who has never finished outside the top two in neutral script pace ever as an offensive coordinator. The Chargers are going to throw the ball one massive ton this year. And Quentin Johnston, I think he is going to be used in a great versatile role. We're talking about a guy that I think that can get lined up in the slot. And yes, that's going to push Keenan Allen outside. Keenan Allen can still win outside. But Quentin Johnston led all FBS wide receivers in yak per reception and slot yards per route run, as well as being a fantastic deep threat. And we know in Kellen Moore's offense, they are going to push the ball down the field more than they ever did under Joe Lombardi. So Quentin Johnston, again, we're talking about upside. If Keenan Allen or Mike Williams miss time, hell, if Quentin Johnston has the talent to supplant Mike Williams as the wide receiver two in this offense, 100 plus, 120 targets in his rookie season. Yeah, that's possible.
Well, to me, Johnson not only is the future, he's the present. Mike Williams is never on the field, so I'm all in on this one. And I feel the same way about this as I felt a couple years ago in the rookie season of Amon Ross St. Brown, but I'm going to learn my lesson, which is be patient for the first 6 weeks. Like, if it doesn't pop right away, just be patient, because we all know how that other story ended. And sometimes you got to look at some of these rookie wide receivers and give them a little bit of patience as they get their feet wet. Some guys are going to hit the ground running. It's going to be great. But Quentin Johnston is one of these guys that I just see that pathway there for him, and I see that need for him potentially sooner than later. So hopefully those two things cross. Andrew Erickson, give me somebody in this range, 100 to 150, that you think has massive upside.
Outside the top 100, I like Anthony Richardson, the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts at Florida. Richardson averaged 60 rushing yards per game. When we're talking upside, we're talking about quarterbacks. It's all about the mobility and the rushing yards that they can put up. So Richardson, do I expect him to be guns blazing from a passing perspective when he makes his debut in the NFL? Not really. I really don't. You know, he didn't start a lot of games in college. And you look at some of these other quarterbacks that coming in, they didn't start a lot of games. They didn't have a lot of passing attempts. Trey Lance's, Mitchell Trubisky's, Mark Sanchez. Like, they didn't put up good passing numbers as rookies, but that's kind of to be expected. But the floor that Richardson is going to offer, and then you add the gravy that could be any type of passing step that he takes, whether it's from week 11 onwards to the fantasy football playoffs, which matter more for your fantasy team than what he does in week one and week two, I think Anthony Richardson has back end QB1 upside this year. And I think he can really develop into a top five player as the season progresses.
He is actually the number 10 player on my recent video on Fantasy Bros YouTube channel of league winners. He was number 10 for the same reasons Erickson's saying. In those single quarterback leagues, you could be aggressive, take him, give him some time. You can go draft a Goff. You could draft an Aaron Rodgers. You could draft some of these boring quarterbacks that you know are just going to be fine at the back end of QB1. And you might have a rocket in your pocket with Anthony Richardson. You might have somebody super special there. Here are the Fantasy Pros projections for him, Erickson. 3,153 yards passing. Do you think that's too high?
I think that's fine. You know, people probably underestimate, like, the passing yards.
Well, they look at Justin Fields, right? Justin Fields didn't come quite close to that number. But, you know, Daniel Jones doesn't come quite close to those numbers sometimes too. So Richardson, to me, that seems a little bit high in year one for me.
Well, I think it also is projecting him to start all the games, which you don't necessarily know. Like, that's what I think is going to happen. I mean, you're not drafting Anthony Richardson because you think Gardner Minshew is going to start the first 3 weeks, which at this point in time, we still don't necessarily know. I still think it's going to be Richardson in week one. That makes the most sense to me, but they're going to do the lip service. Well, you know, Gardner Minshew knows the offense a little bit more. It's like, okay, yeah, they got to say this. And after week three of the preseason, they're like, yep, Anthony Richardson, he's our guy. Shocker.
Right.
We took him, you know, with a top five pick. So I think with Richardson, it's just, look, if he's running, he's going to be fine in fantasy. It's just a matter of the steps that he takes as he progresses. Because there's going to be games as a passer where it's going to look ugly. Like, we've gone through this with a lot of passers. Justin Fields, Kyler Murray's rookie year. People were laughing at Kyler Murray. It's like, oh my God, this guy, like, what is up with this guy? He's just running around scrambling, running for his life. Lamar Jackson, his rookie year. Like, they Jalen all struggled Hurts. As Jalen Hurts. They struggled as passers. But eventually, the more reps they get in, and the advantage Richardson gets from some of those other guys is he's going to be the starter most likely from day one. You know, that wasn't Lamar Jackson's case. That wasn't the case with Jalen Hurts. Kyler Murray was QB7 as a rookie. Like, but he was a first round pick. Like, why can't Anthony Richardson do what Kyler Murray did as a rookie? So those are the reasons why I think you should be on Anthony Richardson, especially in home leagues where he's not going to be, you know, QB10, QB11, where you're seeing him on underdog and some of these sharper draft rooms. He's going to be QB15, 16, 17, where you want to take the chance with him.
Right. And you take the chance early is what we're saying. You go around early or whatever, and then you can back it up much easier in the single quarterback leagues. Kyler Murray, rookie season, 3,700 passing yards, higher than I realized it was, to be honest with you. Looking back to some of the other ones. Now, last year, Daniel Jones finally got over 3,200. His rookie year, 3,000. 2020, 2,900, 24, 28. Again, just trying to give you some range on some of the quarterbacks who are using their legs a little bit. Justin Fields, now last year, just 2,200 passing yards. So I think for Richardson to get over 3,000 would be, that's like the best case scenario personally. But again, you can go look at all those projections on Fantasy Pros.
I would also not get hung up on the passing yards. Again, like, he's going to score more
points. I just think that
people see the passing yards. Like, because people are concerned about, oh, the passing, like, is the passing going to be there? It's like, when you look at Daniel Jones,
that's not the reason.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, when these guys were starting games as rookies, they were averaging 17 to 19 fantasy points per game. Like, that's kind of the rate that I was kind of looking at when I was looking at the starts that they made. As even Trey Lance. Trey Lance was horrible as a passer in the three games that he played the most for a rookie. He was still averaging 18 fantasy points per game. That is in the QB 10 to QB 12 range. If Richardson is horrible a passer but is running, he's going to be a back-end fantasy QB1. And then if he takes steps, like I've said, as a passer, then he's going to get into the top eight and then into the top five. So that's the bullish case for Anthony Richardson. Thanks for my TED Talk. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it was a wonderful. I'm so glad I made it. Luckily, there's a buffet afterwards. That's really the only reason I bought the ticket. But look, even Richardson in best ball contests, like on DraftKings, too, you get $10 million in guaranteed cash prizes. It's up for grabs if you join the biggest best ball contest today. And you get your first entry back in DraftKings dollars when you do. So you can enter the DraftKings Best Ball Millionaire Contest and snake draft your team for the season. Each week, you'll automatically rack up points for your top scorers. No ads, no drops, no trades. Just fun. So the teams with the most points by the end of the season will have a shot to take home a $1 million top prize. So head to DraftKings app and sign up with the promo code FANTASYPROS when you do. Join the DraftKings $10 million Best Ball Tournament and get your first entry back in DraftKings dollars again. Fantasy Pros, that's the code to sign up today. That's pretty easy to remember.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Derrick Brown, give me another player that I should remember in this range as massive upside.
Well, we talked about Jalen Hurts. I'm just going to stay with the Eagles here. Rashad Penny, baby. Like, I want to be investing in Rashad Penny. And yes, the only reason Rashad Penny is going this low is, one, everybody still loves DeAndre Swift. He is going incredibly higher than Rashad Penny. And I don't really understand it, because in this offense, we want the early down runner. And I think as long as he is healthy, and I get that's a big if for people, it's going to be Rashad Penny. What he's flashed in his career when he has been on the field has been nothing short of fantastic. I mean, since 2006, he's the only running back in the NFL to eclipse 4.5 yards after contact per attempt. That is a ludicrous mark. He has led the league in that metric over the last two seasons. Now you're airdropping Rashad Penny into an Eagles offense that was 10th in neutral rushing rate, and we're talking about scoring opportunities. We just saw Miles Sanders get double-digit rushing touchdowns. That's because they were fourth in red zone scoring attempts per game. I mean, Sanders was an RB2 last year, and Rashad Penny runs laps around Miles Sanders as far as a natural talent and a rushing talent. Yeah, I want to be investing a ton in Rashad Penny.
I'm with you. I love this investment. The ROI potential is great. And in terms of the fact that he's going so late, there's no negative. If he gets hurt again and underperforms, or DeAndre Swift becomes somebody that everybody wants DeAndre Swift to be and actually happens for a change, okay, you take the L and you move on. But to me, this is a win-win. I love these names that you guys have come up with in this range. This post 100 group is really good. So Erickson, don't screw it up here with a bad one. Give me another good name.
This is one of my favorites, to be totally honest, and probably one of the guys I'm drafting the most in the best ball drafts, Damien Harris for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
But everything about his profile just screams, hey, you're looking for this year's Jamal Williams. Damien Harris is that guy. 1 year removed from 15 touchdowns and over 900 rushing yards as the Patriots lead running back. And yes, he dealt with injuries last year and got outplayed by Ramondre Stevenson. But even when Damien Harris was healthy last year, he was still carving out a little bit of a role alongside Stevenson. And the Patriots still used him in the red zone, where they were horrible, but they still use Damien Harris. And that was probably also contributed to the reason why they were so bad in the red zone, because they didn't have a guy like Damien Harris. So We're looking at this Buffalo Bills backfield. James Cook is the explosive pass catcher out of the backfield, but I want the red zone guy. Like, who's going to be the red zone back? And last year, Devin Singletary saw 80% of the running back carries inside the red zone for the Buffalo Bills. He's now in Houston. Now, the issue is Josh Allen as a mobile runner that they like to use as a battering ram at the goal line at times. He steals a lot of those touchdowns. So that's always a concern, and that can make Damien Harris not as appealing. But as Josh Allen gets up there in age, as the Bills are invested in him long-term, makes sense to me that, hey, like, let's not use him as a battering ram. Instead, use this battering ram running back that we signed in free agency that has destroyed us on the ground for multiple years. We've seen the highlights of Damien Harrison running all over the Buffalo Bills for multi-touchdown games. So for me, where Damien Harris goes, especially in half PPR where touchdowns matter so much, I can't believe he's this cheap. He's a high octane offense, and he's a good running back. He's not a running back where it's like, oh, we're hoping he falls into the end zone. Like, he can score from outside the 22. Like, he's only
been moved on from because this is the Patriot way. You don't get second contracts in New England as a running back. So it's not a knock on Harris. It's just the way they do things over there. And to me, Buffalo you know, finding balance to this offense is key to them. You know, sometimes they get very pass happy, and if they can find the balance with Damian Harris, I'm with you. I love this guy too. I think this is a great massive upside pick. And I wonder too about the chicken and the egg scenario where you're talking about like Josh Allen being used as the battering ram, right? Well, maybe that's because of necessity, because they didn't have that guy to hand the ball off to and be the goal line back. So if Harris can do all those things, and maybe James Cook can, you know, take a little step forward, if it's good for the offense overall in Buffalo and their chances to win that division. Let's move on. Slide the needle a little further. This time, let's go deeper. Give me some names outside the top 150 in ADP that have massive upside. Now, this might be a little trickier, so there's more contingencies that might have to take place for these guys to reach that upside. But doesn't matter. We're going to talk about them anyway. Derrick Brown, give me a name.
Marvin Mims. He is going to be one of my most highly drafted players in best ball right now, and I'm going to be snagging him over on FFPC. Look, we cannot deny the talent of Marvin Mims. Sean Payton traded up to get this guy. 96th percentile breakout age, 4.3 speed, and I know everybody's going to think of immediately, but is he going to start because of Tim Patrick? Oh, okay, so we're worried about Tim Patrick, who's getting blurbs of being possibly the best wide receiver on the team. Come on, man.
He's the greatest football player that ever lived, I heard.
I mean, he was at once the consensus best wide receiver four in the NFL. Real life.
Wide receiver four, he shall remain. I mean, you know, he's got a career 1.4 yards per route run. Are we that concerned with Tim Patrick also coming off of significant injury? No, I'm going to sit here and push my chips to the middle on a blazing fast rookie that the team traded up to get, that every other thing that has come out of that they have said, Marvin Mims is going to be a big part of what we do. And if he makes the starting lineup this year, he's going to win down the field. He's going to have spike week games. This is a guy in two of the last three seasons in college. He was top 24 in yards per route run. We know the skill set that he has. And if Russell Wilson, again, this is also making a bet on Russell Wilson bouncing back, which is a bet I am firmly comfortable in making this year. And if he bounces back, Marvin Mims is going along for the ride.
All right, Erickson, give me a name outside top 150 in ADP that you think has massive upside.
I'm going to go with another rookie wide receiver here, Jonathan Mingo, second round pick by the Carolina Panthers, because I think that he can be the number one wide receiver on this team. Because looking at his competition, you got 34-year-old Adam Thielen, who is following the AJ Green and the Jordy Nelson career arc, where you go to a new team and basically turn to dust. And then you have the injury prone DJ Chark, who has missed 7 games on average over the past 3 seasons. So Mingo, yes, his production profile from Ole Miss is incomplete. It's not great. But when you're looking at him from a physical specimen standpoint, 6'2", 220 pounds, 4.46 speed. Like, he's probably like the best way to describe him as a poor man's DK Metcalf. So I like that. I like that upside on a team where he can step in and be the number one guy. If I'm Bryce Young, who do I want to throw the ball to? The guy that looks like Adam Thielen, that looks like my accountant? DJ Chark, who's out there on the crutches? No, I want to throw it to this freak. That's who I want to throw the ball to. So I think Mingo, who thrived as a deep threat at Ole Miss, which is also something great that Marvin Mims was also great at, and he was also good after the catch. 10th in the FBS among all wide receivers, least 80 targets, yards after the catch per reception. So he can win in multiple ways. So they can get him involved in bubble screens, and he can take one to the house. He can be used downfield as a vertical threat. So there's a lot of ways that he wins, and he just landed on the best depth chart in terms of him being able to ascend it at the fastest pace. So Jonathan Mingo, he was one of the guys I wrote up in the betting pros where leader, you know, dark horse leader to have the most rookie receiving yards. I looked at Jonathan Mingo because he's explosive.
Yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense. And I know for a lot of the audience too, you're getting acclimated with some of these names like Mingo and like Mims. And I know with the draft kit out, there's a lot more information on these guys. So I encourage everybody to go there. It's free. It's fantasypros.com/kit. You can go and check out the draft kit. You could see the write-ups that Derek and Andrew and Fitzy all have on these players. It's got a lot of position primers. You get the round-by-round strategies, which I'm going to be doing a video on the YouTube channel too, like the players I want round-by-round. So it's a lot of deeper dive stuff. And the good news, it's free. Again, go check out the draft kit, fantasypros.com/kit today. And if you're a premium member, of course, you get access to even more. But go check it out and start to get familiar with some of these names that we're talking about if you don't watch college football. And I know a lot of people just don't have time in their day or the inclination to do that, but these guys are going to make some impacts in 2023. Derrick Brown, give me one more name outside the top 150 in ADP you think can have massive upside this year.
one of my favorite late round tight ends. And I have no problems if you want to call him the late round tight end, because if Anthony Richardson has a fantastic rookie season, I'm telling you, Jelani Woods is going to be breaking out this year. We want athletic mutants. We want athletic freaks. And that's what we want at tight end, because those are the guys that, if you go back, have broken out in a big way. And Jelani Woods can do that. We know the athletic talent that he has. The numbers also support this, guys. When he was on the field last year, he was running pass game routes. That's what we want. 58.1%. He played in the slot or out wide. He was 14th in yards per route run. And one of the biggest things that I'm tying to for that type of upside, ceiling type of outcome, is not only the athleticism, but if you go and just check out one metric and you're saying, I'm shooting for upside at the tight end position, what do I need to look at past athleticism? Yards per route run against man coverage. All of these guys that could beat man coverage, the Travis Kelce's of the world, Mark Andrews of the world, David Njoku is up on that list. Yeah, Jelani Woods is there too. He was 9th in yards per route run against man coverage last year, immediately behind David Njoku and Evan Engram. People are treating Jelani Woods like this is still a Frank Reich situation and they're going to rotate three tight ends through. That's not the case anymore. Shane Steichen and Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator, have leaned on one tight end historically. You can go back to Eric Ebron. We could talk about Hunter Henry. We could talk about Dallas Goedert. So if one guy has the talent and the skill set to step forward and be a late round tight end one this year, my bet's on Jelani Woods.
Well, there's the perfect guy to pair with Waller, right? You want the upside of Waller. If it doesn't hit, maybe you take a late stab at Jelani Woods. You might get something out of him. All right, let's close out strong here. Give me the last name on the list post 150, Erickson, you think has some massive upside.
We go with Roschon Johnson, rookie running back for the Chicago Bears. And I think just aiming for rookies late in drafts is really just a good strategy in general, because these are the guys that have high upside because they're unknown. Like, we don't know a lot about them. So that's why they go so late. But when they do hit, they hit big. So with Roschon, I'm looking at this Bears backfield. You have Deontay Foreman, who I'm not a huge fan of. I love Khalil Herbert, of course, but I don't know if the Bears love him as much as I love him. So that's an issue with me, because apparently the coaching staff they value pass catching ability and pass blocking ability highly in this backfield. And Roschon Johnson, that's what he did at Texas while he was backing up Bijan Robinson. So, and that's why a lot of people don't know about Roschon, just because he was backing up, you know, the guy that went 8th overall, who he was pretty good. You know, Bijan was pretty good.
Like, I mean, the best RB on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, he's like,
let me tell you something. Having watched Texas last year, had Roschon played anywhere else, we'd be talking a lot more about Roschon Johnson. I'm just telling you, he just got buried in there a little bit. And it's one of these things we're going to look back. You know, we look back at that LSU team and we're like, how did Joe Burrow have Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson on the same team? Think about how absurd that just sounds, like, to put that all out there. And there are people who say, how in the hell did Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson play in the same backfield? They're going to look back someday and have the same conversation.
They said the same thing about Miles Sanders and Saquon. I mean, I think it's a similar argument.
Yeah, well, I mean, Miles hasn't had the career yet that I think people hoped for. We'll see if this year changes things. But look, these are all really great names. Again, to just kind of blast through them, Deontay Johnson, Cam Akers, Darren Waller, JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Quentin Johnson, Anthony Richardson, Damian Harris, Rashad Penny, and then post 150, we're talking about guys like Marvin Mims, Jelani Woods, Jonathan Mingo, Roschon Johnson. And if you need more information on any of these names, go to the draft kit, fantasybros.com/kit. That's the place to get that information, all the breakdowns, where to draft these guys and what the approach should be. And then, of course, check out the other content, too. I mentioned before that breakout article, 24 breakout candidates for the draft. It's a great piece, fantasybros.com/breakout. Easy place to go find that. And go play some fantasy football right now. I mean, you don't have to wait. You can get advantage. Take advantage of the knowledge that we're dropping here and go enter that DraftKings giant contest they've got going on there, the Best Ball Millionaire, where you can take advantage of these early ADPs. And when you do sign up for it, sign up with that promo code Fantasy Pros and go play the Fantasy Pros Championship too. FantasyPros.com/championship FFPC. Somebody's going to win $1 million there. Somebody's going to win $1 million at DraftKings. $1 million playing a little fantasy football. That sounds pretty good to me. I don't know about all of you. So thanks for hanging out with us today. Don't forget to drop your names and your big massive upside picks in the comments below. We love to hear from you on the YouTube channel. Like this video, share, and subscribe. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Derrickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.